We, this morning, are starting a new sermon series, and I don't know if that excites you at all, but it excites me. I get pretty excited when I start to work on a new series and start to think about and pray about what the Lord would have for us. And this morning, I want to introduce this and just talk to you about how do you live your life? Where do you get your information from? Where do you go to find out that the way the world works? Friends, Facebook, opinion makers, celebrities, everybody has an opinion for you. Everybody has something that they want you to do or a way that you should live. How much of that do you take in? How do you know what's right and what's wrong? There's a thing called worldview. Whether we realize it or not, we all have one. We all base on how we see the world on certain things that we decide are true and not true. And that frames how we picture things. That frames what we do. In fact, if someone knows your worldview ahead of time, they can pretty much guess how you're going to react in all sorts of circumstances, even though you may think you're totally spontaneous. You're not. How you think about the world determines how you act most of the time. And so I want to do a series on how we should be able to view things, and we're going to call it Living Life in Focus. And there's some reasons for this. First of all, we don't always see things as clearly as we should. A lot of times what we're seeing in life is kind of like this picture. You kind of see it, but you don't quite make it out. Even though you think you know exactly what's there, you need a way to be able to see it in focus. Three little nutcase children here. Yeah, they don't look anything like this anymore. You see what was on your nose? Big scab. Things aren't always as they seem. Now, looking at this, you see a couple on a raft coming down what looks like a river, maybe cut out of some type of channel. Until you see that there's people standing behind them, that's actually a sidewalk. We don't always see things the way we should. Actually, those are people, I think. The only thing real in that picture should be the two people sitting there with the paddle. Everything else is chalk. Now, sometimes we think we know what we see, and we find out it's exactly wrong. You remember this? 2 years ago, they called this the dress that broke the internet. Somebody on BuzzFeed sent out this picture and said, "Tell me what color you see in this dress." "I see white and gold. My wife says it's black and royal blue." You see black and blue? That's the actual dress. In fact, a company makes this dress. They call it hashtag the dress. The dress that broke the internet. They're still selling it online. Here's the truth of it. No, it depends on the lighting in the room to how you see it. This is the same dress with different lighting. So many times what you think is reality really isn't. So many times what you think of the world as clear is really not focused. So many times we follow opinions and advice that leads us the wrong way. And the problem is, if we don't know what reality is, it can lead to devastating consequences. Is that you? Is that you? How have you fallen for things that aren't true, thinking that it's reality, and lived your life based on them only to go flat smack up against that wall in pain and devastation because of it? So the question is, how can we make sure to know what's real and what's not? How can we be able to? Shouldn't there be a way? If there is a God of this universe, didn't he design us and design the universe in a way that we could know what's going on? How do we know what reality is? How can we see things clearly? Well, we need to see them through God's lenses. And so the series that we're about to do, I'm calling Seeing Life Through God's Lenses. Just this month, we're going to look, this morning, just started all off, Living Life in Focus. But then starting next week, we're going to look in the scripture and see, are there ways that we can know what reality is and what it's not? Next week, we're going to look at the fact that we were made in God's image, but we were born into sin. This explains what none of the rest of the world can figure out. Here is one of the biggest questions that the world has. How can good people do bad things? And the other, how can evil people do good things? Shouldn't good people always be good and bad people always be bad? How is it that you can do both? Scripture tells us very plainly why. We were made in God's image, yet we were born in sin. Completely explains what the rest of the world can't figure out. Then we're going to look at the fact that you are not an accident. You are not just a bunch of chemicals that just randomly came together and you have no purpose and there's no meaning. No. You were created. You have a purpose and a meaning that can be found in God. And at the end of the month, we're going to talk about the knowable God. So many people will tell you that God is unknowable. He is so far and distant. Even if they believe there is a God, there's no way that you could have an intimate relationship with him. But if there is a God that you can have an intimate relationship with, then that changes everything. Game over for those who say there's no reason for you. Game over for those who say you have no purpose and you have no identity. No, I have an intimacy with the knowable God. So we're going to look at those things this month, and we're going to go on with this over the next few months and talk about some very, very painful issues and how we can look at them through God's lenses. But I got to, again, plug what we're doing in the evenings. 6 p.m. tonight, we're going to start this new series about spiritual warfare, and we're going to start by looking at the Omni-God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and lay a basis for how can we go through this world and deal with the forces that are coming against us in the spiritual realm, Satan and his demons constantly attacking. How can we stand up under that? Well, it starts with understanding who has the power, and so we're going to look at God tonight, and then we're going to look next week at who Satan is, the great deceiver. Then we're going to look at the armies of God and the armies of Satan. Then we're going to take a break and have a Super Bowl party. But that's the beginning of these series. I hope that you will pray about this and look forward to this. By the way, also, I told you that we're going to have a devotional given out. I thought I'd have it ready last week. I thought I'd have it ready today. It'll be ready next week. If it gets ready in the middle of the week, I'll show up at your house and give it to you. But we're trying to get it done. Now, how can we make sure to see life clearly? How can we know what reality is so we don't follow Wile E. Coyote's footsteps and slam ourselves against fake walls all the time? I want you to see that there are two sources where information and knowledge and life can come from. There are two natures that can control us, and we have to make a decision. We have to choose those clearly and carefully. First of all, as far as the two sources, there are a lot of scripture passages that talk about these two different sources of worldviews. And they're given right here. See to it that no one takes you, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. Do you realize that you know, there are very good things in traditions? There are very good things in worldly knowledge and wisdom. I have a PhD in biology. I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm not one of these preachers that gets all freaked out by scientists and thinks they're evil. No, it's a good thing to understand the basic principles of the universe, but you have to watch out that that's not where all of your hope and trust is found. You have basic principles of this world that are twisted and brought to bear and given meaning that they don't have by themselves. And then you have God's wisdom. Which are you going to turn to? Who is going to be the one that runs your thinking? Who is going to be the one that gives you that advice? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the passage that we're using as our memory verse this month. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Do you want to understand the way the world works? Well, you could go try to find out from the world, but that's not the spirit that believers have. If I want to understand the way the world works, I need to go to God. And we'll talk about why in just a few minutes. 1 John chapter 2 tells us, do not love the world or anything in the world. And then gives this statement that unfortunately we ignore far too often. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, we get ourselves caught up so often in worldly thinking and worldly beliefs. And I mean, you see it play out all the time now. I am not, in the statements I'm about to make, I am not sitting in judgment. Please don't hear that. But being a pastor for the last 18 years, next month will be 18 years. Being a pastor for the last 18 months, I have seen some things play out over and over and over and over. Okay? The same thing happens over and over. It'll be a new person, a new family, somebody I've never met before, somebody who doesn't know me, and they come and it turns out they have the exact same trouble that hundreds of other people have had. And most of the time that trouble is they thought that dabbling in sin, that doing drugs, that allowing sexual sin to creep into their life wouldn't hurt anything. And yet it did. There's an old saying, play with fire, you're going to get burned. And yet so often we think we can play with fire and get away with it. Speaking of playing with fire, we've got a fireplace and it's probably a good thing we ran out of wood, because I was talking to my wife while putting the logs in the fire, and I just put the log in. It wasn't on fire yet, and I thought, well, I'll just push it. Took my two fingers and went to push it, but I didn't push on the log. I pushed on the metal holder that had been in the fire for hours and nearly burned my fingertips off. Play with fire, you're going to get burned. It makes perfect sense when you allow the scripture to show you what the fire is. I'll have people come into my office completely mystified as to why their life has turned out the way it has, and as gently as possible, I'll say, can you see how the dots all connect? Can you see how this type of behavior here leads to this over here? You know, when I do marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling or marriage counseling, one of the first things I tell a couple is never say the word divorce. Just decide at the beginning you're not allowed to say that word. I can't tell you how many people have come into my office in the middle of the worst time of their marriage. They're about to split, and I find out that they have said for years, oh, I'm going to divorce you. Like, flows off their tongue like water. I don't know if that works or not, but how do you think you got to this point? These things set a path that ruts get formed that you easily go down. So the question is, where are you going to get those ruts from? Are you going to get them from God? Are you going to get them from the world? Because God says if you're living for the world, you can't please Him because they go different paths. There are two sources, the world or the Lord. There are two natures in us. Romans 8 tells us about these two natures. In fact, Romans 8, the entire chapter of Romans 8, goes in detail about these natures. But in verses 5 through 8, it says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. You wonder why you don't have peace in your life? This may be the reason. Because if we're to realize that there's two sources of knowledge, and we choose not to have the source that is peace, which is God, then what's going to happen? The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Those who love the world cannot love God. Those who please the sinful nature cannot please God. There's two paths. Problem is, we don't want to choose one or the other. We want to be in the middle and think we're living totally for God. Middle's a bad place. Middle of the road's where you get run over. You want to live in the middle of the road? That's where traffic is. You get yourself run over doing that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. You ever wonder why news media and other people, when they talk about things that you can see so clearly, they say the exact opposite, and they don't understand why you think the way you do? Because the man without the Spirit can't accept things from the Spirit. Those living for the world can't understand the way of God. You come to someone who is desperate, in total need. Drugs have wrecked them. Their marriage is shot. Their children hate them. They are in the middle of the worst crisis, and you try to tell them about the Lord, and they've never thought about Him before. And what are you talking about? Doesn't make any sense. They want to come to the Lord because you're telling Him the Lord can change your life, and they're thinking, good, whatever can change my life, I'm going to do. And they think you're talking about God as if He's a 12-step program. If He's some diet that you can go on really shortly, fix your life, and then go back to the way it was. But that's not the way. You have a nature inside you. You actually have two natures. You have the sinful nature that wants to control you and get you to do things the way of the world, the way of the flesh, the way of Satan. It's all the same. And you have, if you know Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God indwelling you, giving you a Spirit-led nature. Who will you submit to? The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. That's why it doesn't make any sense at all to try to talk morality to somebody who doesn't know Christ. You're completely speaking different languages. We're going to get into a lot of different issues. We're going to talk about euthanasia. We're going to talk about the quality of life and the sanctity of life. We're going to talk about abortion. We're going to talk about these things. And I can tell you right now, if you don't know Christ, you won't understand what we're talking about. Because it won't make sense. Because the world is so good at giving lies and getting in there and changing the view to make it sound like up is down, black is white, left is right, and right is left. And Scripture tells us that. In fact, it's an incredible statement in Isaiah. Isaiah actually has a statement where he's telling the people, all you want is prophets to preach beer and wine for you, and you think they're great. What? They take the things that God says don't indulge in, and they say, let's do it, and the people love it. That's the way the world looks. Two natures, the sinful nature that's fed by the world and the spiritual nature that's fed by the Spirit of God. Choose carefully. One way leads to destruction. One way leads to life and peace. It'd be like if you were on that, what is that show with the Doors? Let's Make a Deal. I got two doors for you. Behind one is life and peace and joy and eternity with God, who is intimate and knowable and loving. The other door leads to what you might think is fun and feeds your flesh, and you'll always want more but never be satisfied, and the end leads to destruction and pain and eternal damnation for your soul. Choose carefully which door. Now, the great thing for us is they're not like on Let's Make a Deal, where you can't know what's behind the door and have to just guess. These doors are very clearly marked out for us. God has marked these paths out. Now, how do we know that we can choose this way of God and that it would end correctly? Well, first of all, we can know because God is the one who created everything. So I think he has a pretty good idea of how it all works. You know, if I want to know how to get through a maze, I can stumble through that maze over and over and over again, bloodying my nose every time I run into a wall. Or can I ask the person who made the maze, and they'll be able to lead me out very easily. God made the universe. Scripture tells us, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will they were created and have their being. That includes you. He created you. You have your being in him. You don't understand the way the world works? You don't understand why your life is the way it is? You don't understand what the purpose in all this might be? Check the one who created you. He might just tell you. Colossians 1 says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. You want to live life through God's lenses? Get in your head that you were created by God and you were created for God, and everything else will start to take care of itself. You will be able to see clearly which path to take. And then Romans 12 tells us, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You have to choose God. You have to choose to let the Spirit of God lead you. And you have to choose to stop letting the world dictate what you do. The flesh, the desires in you that bubble up, that Scripture says, stop. You have to choose to stop. Do not conform any longer. The word conform has the idea. Have you ever played with Play-Doh before? You remember being a kid and having Play-Doh, and you have those little molds, and you cram your Play-Doh down in that mold? And if you were me, you ruined your Play-Doh because you used every color and crammed it all together. And it made one mess of a color, and nobody wanted to play with your Play-Doh anymore because you ruined it. But you crammed it down in that mold, and then you pulled the mold away, and the image of whatever it was in the Play-Doh. Or Silly Putty. Silly Putty used to be the coolest thing when comics had the different kind of ink. You could take your Silly Putty, you press it on there and pull it away, and that comic would be exactly on your Silly Putty. This is the type of word that's being used here. Stop going to the world and letting it cram you into its mold so that you look just like it. Stop being a Silly Putty rubbed up against the world so that when people see you, all they see is the world. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Changed, metamorphized, go from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you do, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. People say, I don't know what God's will is for my life. Spend time in His Word. Stop spending all your time and thoughts and energy allowing the sinful nature to have control. And you'll know what His good and pleasing and perfect will is. He will show it to you. Now, there will be times in your life that it will be so stark obvious you can't believe that it ever felt otherwise. And there'll be time in your life that you'll have to be on your knees constantly praying to get a glimpse of it, but He will show you His good and perfect and pleasing will. And you will be able to please Him. You will be able to live a life for Him. And you will be able to know what your purpose is in life. You want satisfaction in life? You want to stop living a life that you seem to spin your wheels and can't understand why you can't go anywhere? Turn away from the world and turn to Christ. Choose carefully. God created the universe. He created you. He knows all about both. You don't even know about yourself. You know, it cracks me up when I hear people say something, well, they didn't even know me. Come on, you don't even know you. Half the things you do, somebody else could watch. If they were trained in psychology, they could watch and they could tell you what's going on in your head and you wouldn't even realize it. How many of you, somebody goes, why are you looking like that? And you're like, looking like what? I don't even know what I look like. Well, everybody else does. Why are you so mad? I'm not mad. Why do you think I'm mad? Well, gee, because your voice sounds like it, your face looks like it, and you're holding your arms like this. You are mad. God knows you better than you do. Turn to Him. God created you. He created the whole universe. He knows how it works. He knows how you should live. And He will reveal it to you and to me when we seek Him. We need to live a life that's in focus. To do that, we have to understand there's two sources. Two sources we can go to, God or the world. That there's two natures battling inside us. Those of the world's sinful nature, or if we've given our life to Christ, the Spirit-led nature. Which will you choose? Will you pray with me? Bowing our heads and going before the Lord. Lord, You are great and mighty, worthy of praise, honor, and glory. And yet so often, Lord, we don't think that You're any more attractive than the worldly trinkets offered to us. So many times, Lord, the world looks so shiny, so enticing. Sin just shouts out to us for attention. Temptation comes and trips us up, and we jump right in. Lord, we repent. Come before you and just repent. Sorry, Lord. Please give us a heart that cries out to you. Holy Spirit, please lead us on a path of righteousness. Lord, let us see clearly the path you have set for us. Let us spend time in your word and Lord, make it come alive so that we'll understand you and the universe and all your glory. Give us an undivided heart that we may give you praise. As you continue in prayer, I'm going to ask you, do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you turned to this God in repentance and cried out for his forgiveness? Is he making you new, giving you a new heart and a mind that is focused on him and a life that is changed? Is he transforming you into his likeness? I pray that that's the case. If not, will you surrender to him today? Right where you are now, will you just cry out to him and say, Lord, I give myself to you. I don't want to follow the sinful nature anymore. I'm tired of trying to live this life according to the principles of this world. Lord, I need your joy. I need your peace. I need you to satisfy my soul. I just repent. I repent of all my sin. I lay it before you, Lord. And I just cry out to you and ask you to save me. Indwell me, Holy Spirit, with your presence. Fill my heart. Fill my life. Teach me your righteousness, and I'll follow you for the rest of my life. Let me be with you for eternity, and let that start right now. Is that your prayer this morning? Have you finally gotten to the place where you're surrendering all to him? If so, will you share that with us? I won't draw this out for very long, but I want to give an opportunity. If you've surrendered your life to the Lord today, if you're being saved, we want to recognize that and praise God with you. So while everyone's in prayer, will you just come down this aisle and share with me, Pastor, I'm being saved. I'm giving my life to Jesus. He's going to make me new. We'll give you a few moments to respond. Lord Jesus, you are glorious. You are our sacrifice. We put our trust and hope in you and your blood and give you praise in your holy name. Amen. Amen.